Dubai itself is its own visionary thinker from its leaders. That is so inspiring. The wealth of the people that have come here, more millionaires have moved to the UAE than any other country in the world in the last year.
Yeah. I think that's what's really attracting a lot of people, entrepreneurs, to come here, because they see Dubai as a potential place that is filled with opportunities yet to be unlocked.
I think it's absolutely fundamental. When you start a business, yes, of course, it's important to know your skills, know your ability in that industry sector, but your ability to connect people is ultimately what's going to drive you in business. It's so important to be around those people. You think bigger and it gives you bigger opportunities. So realizing that you can do something, just do it once, do something completely out of your comfort zone, achieve it, then the world's your oyster. You realize everything's possible. Start to build the relationships with people who you might know will be your customers. Connect them, support them first. They're then going to come to you.
What about in terms of your legacy? What do you want to leave in the luxury world? All right, we're here with another episode in Dubai Catch Podcast, and we have a special guest here with me. And I always say, I leave the mic to the person who's being introduced. So it's a pleasure to have you here, Johnny.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
So can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, who you are?
Actually? Yeah, of course. Well, Johnny Dodge. I'm a group CEO, and we founded a travel group about 16 years back now, which covers everything in luxury travel, from as wild as space travel experiences through to yachts, jets, Formula One, resorts. So it's been an exciting journey building a bunch of travel companies, and Dubai's a great base to have it based.
So traveling air, land, and sea. This guy got it covered.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. So you went from nightclubs to super yachts. How did that all start?
I think ultimately it's all about knowing what a luxury consumer wanted, and that was really that journey for me. But also about venues like that, and the nightclub scene back then was really about connecting with people, building relationships. And I think that's what built my businesses over time, is it's so important to understand about your network. And that was the value, building that network. People want to be able to relate. And if you have a nightclub, whether you're a billionaire or an A-list celebrity, like, people want to know who you are. And so that creates those great connections. And that's given me that platform when I was younger. And now onwards to do far more exciting things.
Do you believe that because of the network that you built, you were able to find clients for super yachts, basically?
I think it's absolutely fundamental. I think when you start a business, yes, of course, it's important to know your skills and know your ability in that industry sector. But your ability to connect people is ultimately what's going to drive you in business. Not only is it about making sure that your network is the one that levels you up, and the value of being in a room where you're looking up to everyone, you're being educated, they're talking bigger than you, then it's so important to be around those people. You think bigger and it gives you bigger opportunities. So that I always made sure that I was the poorest, dumbest guy in the room, and that would then elevate you to where you needed to be, for sure.
So you felt that you didn't necessarily have to be a certain level to connect with those people?
I think that that's a huge misconception. And I think a lot of it's like, why is it so fundamental, and that why is that billionaire so different to me? Ultimately, the reality is that they're just a normal person. But you want to share and give value back to whoever is in your network and community. So as long as you're giving value to those people, they're interested to hear what you've got to say. So it's having that inner confidence, that ability to be able to build a relationship and a rapport with these people. So if you can showcase your value, whether that's for me, my point is my passion for experiences and adventure, and I can share my stories. And I know that that's interesting, and I can share that. And if I've got a great story to share, then that's where the value is. I don't need to be as rich as these people or have as much power as them. And I think that people should aspire to build those relationships in the same way and not be fearful of connecting with people and reaching out to people like that.
I feel a lot of people, when they get to meet millionaires or billionaires in this case, they're looking to receive value rather than provide value.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably the wrong approach from day one. I think that the relationship, you want to be able to build that relationship. You want to know that your goal should be, how can I provide value? And when you're looking at perspective, I always just say it's about dreaming far bigger than you think is possible. The ability to shoot for the stars and hit the moon. I call it like the cheat code when I'm talking to my team, is your ability to be able to think 10x the vision, because then it changes your mindset on absolutely everything. So if you're able to present your visions of how do I affect 1 billion people's lives, whatever your business is, however small it is, whether it's a local shop or whether it's providing a small service to people, it's like, what would this business look like if it affected over 1 billion people's lives? What would that do? And then when you can share your insights and ideas with these billionaires, these people you really want to aspire to be, they're going to be interested in what you're talking about, because you're speaking on their level and you're speaking passionately. Make your ideas crazy. If they're not crazy enough, then they're not interesting enough.
So what if I'm a person who's lost? I'm not sure what kind of value I can provide. How do I find out what kind of value I can provide to people?
I think where I started from the beginning was I followed my passions. I didn't look at where I would make money first. I found the things that really drove me and excited me. And I started on those projects and I didn't ask for money for them. I worked with people and connected with people. I took internships, and those were the platforms that connected me and built my relationships. I didn't look for a money first solution from day one. I followed my passions and I built on those steps. And once I then found that, I could then work out how I would be able to get into those networks. But I knew then it was key about connecting with people in that community. So once I found the areas I'm passionate about, build the relationships within that sector, go to those events, connect with those people. Once you start to build the relationships, the value is clearly there. If you're in the real estate industry and you've got two people you can connect, that one looking to invest in real estate, the other one looking to build real estate, the opportunity is you to just to connect those people. You don't need to know anything about real estate. You don't need to be established in that industry. But if you knew those two people, you could make a $1 billion deal happen. So the reality is make the connections, make the relationship, and be passionate about the industry.
For so many events that are happening right now all around the world, how do you ensure that you're going to the right event where you can build that network? Like most of the events or network events, you go there, it's like, I'm going there just to network. It doesn't feel like a genuine relationship that you're building with people, but rather as a more of exchange of business transactions.
Yeah.
That's how I'm seeing it right now.
Very much. And I think that's probably some of the issues with those types of events. Of course, they're useful platforms, but those business-led events, of course, are always going to do that. And I find the strongest relationships I create are in social settings, and my ability to be able to create relationships in those networks. So I think it's about connecting with people on a friendship level first. I mean, the majority of my customers are friends first. And I think that was my priority, because I'm passionate about learning about their businesses, what they do, their ideas, their mindsets. So I've always driven it from a relationship perspective first, without the need to do business. And I have friends who are billionaires now. I still don't even know what their main revenue is, or what they're doing. Like, we just talk about the fun things because we both like cycling.
It's never about business.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think that's the way, is build with the passion first.
Interesting. We'll talk definitely more about that. I just wanted to know now, like, I've seen your articles on you going from extreme adventures, from Antarctica to the Amazon to even space training. And
yeah.
I'm amazed, like, where are you trying to go? So you got to tell me more about that for sure.
I was always driven by adventure. One of my first trips that I did of any note was going down to Antarctica. I did one of the first ever tourist trips down there. And I landed there on the ice in the interior. It felt like landing on another planet. And that just opened my eyes to the perspective of what an incredible opportunity this was. And then my search became to travel with purpose. And that then became my rationale. And I tell everyone to travel with purpose, because that creates so much more reasoning behind why you would do something. So I started going, right, what am I interested in? Let's look at civilizations, and we've populated the world so much. Let's go and find cannibal tribes in Papua that rarely meet Western people. Let's see what they're up to. That's interesting. Or let's go to the Ukraine, to Chernobyl nuclear power plant, and see what a area that's been left abandoned for 30 years with no human interaction in it looks like, and what the effects of that have been. So for me, my adventures were driven by trying to find purpose in those. And then that gave what was a fun hobby, more of a rationale, and then a story I could tell other people. So it became a really exciting journey to go exploring. Now looking, it's space training, zero G floating in space is just an incredible feeling. All of these things I'm so passionate about exploring more and showcasing to the world.
For such a high-speed lifestyle, how do you keep up with it?
I'm excited to wake up every morning. Like, I get up early, I go and do things, and I want to tick off the next thing on the bucket list. So I'm always on a plane somewhere and doing these things, but I'm just so excited about that. That's what, like, keeps my heart beating, is the drive to find the next adventure.
If I may ask, how old are you right now?
Older than I look. 42.
42. You're 42 years old and you live much more younger than any 20-year-old that's going right now, for sure. That's the amazing thing here.
Yeah. That's what keeps me young, for sure.
Do you take care of yourself, like in terms of your health, fitness? Is this something that really helps you with your lifestyle that you maintain?
I didn't used to. And over the more recent years, it's been so much more of a focus of mine and understanding more about that. And I think that what came to mind is when I thought that my physical fitness wasn't something I could achieve, I remember looking at the 10K runs that you can do and being like, who does those? Like, where do you start with that? And that was like my first stepping stone to realizing it was possible the first time I achieved one of those. And I realized that so much of that was about mindset. When I climbed mountains, I thought that the challenge of climbing some of the seven summits, the realization that so much is in your mind. So my ability then to just control it and go, wow, I can do things that I thought were completely unachievable. So doing that, those physical challenges, is now something I'm so passionate about because I realize that the strength is up here.
That's what I love about fitness. It tests you to see where your limits lies.
Yes.
You can always test yourself with fitness and always going with those amazing adventures. You find yourself that you're much opened in terms of where you can go. Like, your capabilities that were limited before, now you envision something even bigger, as you say.
I mean, I think that often when you think you've hit your limit, you're nowhere near it. And often when so it's that same concept of setting yourself a big challenge. If you go out for a 1K run in the morning, you get to the end of the 1 kilometer little jog you've done and you're like, oh, great, there we go. But if you set out in that morning and go, I'm going to do 20 kilometers today, by the time you're 3 or 4 in, it's been pre-programmed that you've got a long way to go. So it's about setting that goal far, far farther in the distance. And I say that with everything.
Can you tell me one of those experiences that really changed your perspective on life?
I think when I first started climbing, it was that ability to, like, you summit days on mountains are just the wildest experience. You've been climbing for days, your lack of oxygen, your lack of sleep, your exhausted body, and you then wake up at 10, 11 p.m. at night after getting a few hours sleep and you hike through the night. You're there taking tiny baby steps because otherwise you're going to run out of oxygen. You can't sweat because it will turn into ice. And you're there at 3, 4 a.m. the morning in the dark with a head torch down, just looking at your steps as you go. And your ability to realize that what you're doing is possible and breaking down all of those steps into smaller little chunks made me realize that it's possible. And I started then my journey to climb seven summits, which is just something that a few years prior to that I thought would be completely impossible. So realizing that you can do something, just do it once, do something completely out of your comfort zone, achieve it, then the world's your oyster. You realize everything's possible.
Amazing sound advice, for sure. Now, you defied gravity, you've climbed mountains, you've went to the Amazon, and you also traveled all the way to Antarctica. What's left on your bucket list?
So many things. I mean, I keep looking for new adventures. I mean, one of them was when I went and got shipwrecked on a desert island and with no food, water, or shelter for 10 days and made fire by rubbing sticks together.
That's what you did?
Yeah.
10 days in an island?
Yeah, in the Pacific Ocean. And I think then being away from my phone, that was really interesting. And the psychology of being in a world of billionaires and this luxury lifestyle, the exciting thing was finding where money had no relevance, connections had no relevance. It was just about the guy that could make fire, the guy that could catch food. And so I think that I look for challenges that take me away from today's society, take me into completely rural, remote places and explore the nature of this planet. So there's so many more things on my bucket list, and I want to tick off every country in the world eventually. So I'm working through that list.
So now you even build your survival skills as well.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I just wonder, like, if you're stuck on an island, how do you drink water? That's the thing.
So we managed to get water from the stream, but then we would have to make fire to make sure that we could boil the water. It was certainly a challenge. Sadly, due to the pollution in the world, we found washed up fishing nets on the beach. So I managed to use those to catch fish in the little streams. Took us about 24 hours to make fire by rubbing the sticks together. So it was definitely an adventure. And being out of contact with the outside world almost is a unique experience, is trying to make your own fire and catch your own food. So it's a wonderful journey that I went through, and one I'd recommend anyone.
I always wondered as well, like, when you think about those amazing adventures, how does one access such adventures exactly? Where do they go? To whom?
Well, you come to us for a lot of the adventures. I mean, we run a lot of corporate incentive programs and unique experiences. So we can take you for a day trip to Antarctica. We can take you driving up volcanoes in Iceland. So we're ticking off the life's bucket list. And we found that certainly working with our consumers and as well as our corporates is just going, right, people used to go to a football match or a concert and connect with people. Now you're taking on life's bigger challenges. People really want to push for finding and exploring new things. And the relationships and bonds that you make on those types of trips are life-changing, whether that's a trauma bond from the experience of getting stuck somewhere in the snow or whatever it might be. But the reality is that these experiences connect us on a whole new level. A day where we're so full of social media and not able to touch each other and do unique things, the drive now to get out there, and I tell everyone, is make a life defining goal for each year. And if you can take on that one challenge, it doesn't have to be enormous, like maybe, but it can be running a marathon, it can be doing these great things. Make that goal for the year, set one goal at least, then you can focus on that and try and achieve it. So try and take on a new adventure or find a new place that you want to travel to this year and put it on your bucket list.
One adventure at a time unlocks a new you.
Yep. Pretty true.
Now, going back into Dubai, you've been here for 6 to 7 years so far.
Yeah.
How has Dubai really played a role in your success in the luxury travel business and maybe even with your yacht business, your private jet business, everything?
Yeah. I love Dubai, where nothing's impossible. And I'm just heading off to Davos, to the World Economic Forum tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And that's Dubai's or the UAE's headline statement across it stand there. And it showcases that that's the case. I think that to take on the vision, when I say that it's so important to be around these visionary thinkers, Dubai itself is its own visionary thinker from its leaders. And I think that is so inspiring. The wealth of the people that have come here, more millionaires have moved to the UAE than any other country in the world in the last year. That's a Bloomberg statistic. So the reality is that we're the hub for people who have some of the most impact in the world and the ability to spend. So the opportunity to access those people and the mindset of people that are here, because the reality is that the majority of the population weren't born here. They made their effort to come here and make this home. So those people are driven to do business. So the networks and people wanting to do business in Dubai has been such a powerful tool of people thinking bigger. So it's so wonderful to be around that. Coming from what was my home in London for 15 years there, this community here is just so unique, and I don't even find it anywhere else in the world.
It's like people here that come, they have big ambition. They come here to strive to become the best versions of themselves. They come here to build the best business opportunity that they could possibly build here that they possibly couldn't when they're back in their own country. Right. And there's a huge incentives as well that supports them throughout their business journey. Yeah. And I think that's what's really attracting a lot of people, entrepreneurs, to come here, because they see Dubai as a potential place that is filled with opportunities yet to be unlocked.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, and it's I was just at the Billion Followers Summit the other day, and just meeting people so passionate, excited about the region. So
you've seen Simon, he won the 1 million.
Yes, I was very impressed with that. And then he's had a great week with launching his partnership with Richard Branson with Virgin Startups as well, and launching his book. So yeah, he's been on a roll.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, the book, of course, is like saying, would you get the 10,000 pounds or the book? I'm like, if you ask me this question, I was like, I'll take your 10,000 pounds and I'll buy your book, and then I'll also best the other ones in the business. That's what I will do. That's the smartest way to do the things. But yeah, in terms of the luxury travel scene right here in Dubai, do you think it's evolving here? Because Dubai is more about attracting tourism. A lot of the tourists come here every single year just to enjoy the luxuries of Dubai.
Yeah.
How is it impacting, do you think?
Last year, I took my seat on the board for the LMA, the Leisure Marine Association, which advises the government on the maritime laws here and the future of the superyacht industry in this. So we've seen that as a great growth sector, bringing bigger and bigger yachts down to the region, and that's really been evolving. So even in the recent years, this wasn't really so much of a focus for us, because we focus on managing, selling, and chartering large super yachts over 30 or 40 meters. So this region wasn't really a hub for us. A lot of the owners lived here. It was a great base, because we would connect with those owners off season, and then we would look after their vessels, whether that be in the Mediterranean or in the Caribbean. But it's really become a big hub now. A lot of big boats are moving here full time, and I think we see the growth in that. So specifically in the yachting industry, it's been a great growth. And with our jet business, Your Sky, I think that this has always been a popular region for aviation. It's not like Europe, where you have the smaller aircraft, the smaller hops. You're doing big, longer flights here. So for us, where we specialize in the larger aircraft, the BBJs, the ACJ aircraft, it's a definitely a really popular hub, and those things have been a huge value for us as we've grown.
What is the most ever the top, like over the top request you ever received right here in Dubai?
We had a lot. I mean, I was just thinking about it this morning when we had again a friend and client. We're at flying back to Dubai from the race, the F1 race in Saudi. And we chartered an Airbus A319, so the thing that you would fly your international flights on, but just for a small group of us and one of the F1 drivers coming back with us. And the McDonald's they'd ordered didn't arrive in time, so we had to hold the plane whilst one of our team ran to the McDonald's to go and get...
So out of every restaurant, McDonald's was the one that they wanted. That is interesting.
Absolutely. So, I think we managed to make it with a 5-minute delay, but we got the hot McDonald's on the plane.
Ready. Free marketing for McDonald's. Or yeah,
it was like they need it.
For sure. What about anything else that you found, like, really over the top request?
Like here, I mean, we're chartering such enormous yachts here. I mean, even when people are looking at chartering 90 or 100 meter yachts here and bringing in gold bathtubs full of champagne for birthday parties, the sky is the limit here. We chartered an A330 private jet. That's absolutely enormous. It's got cinema rooms in it. It's got gyms on board, like these.
On the plane?
On the plane.
Gym?
Yeah. So an A330, which like would normally carry hundreds of people just for 12 guests. And
a gym on the plane. Now that's something I never tried.
Yeah, very cool.
I think this is all for the ultra wealthy luxury people.
Yeah, very much.
Imagine like looking, you're just pumping yourself and you look outside the plane like, I'm arriving very soon.
Yeah, I think that's when you've made it, right?
Yeah. What about in terms of now going from charting yachts to selling them? What made you switch?
Well, I think of course, we would start like that. But now the majority of the larger firms in the industry will do charter sales and management. So it made sense for us to grow. And of course, you're looking after the customers. But what we found is the average age of a yacht owner, and in this very legacy industry, generally managed by companies that have been around hundreds of years, the average age has dropped by around 10 years in recent years for a new yacht buyer. So that totally opened up a whole new audience. So initially, they're the people that were chartering the vessels, and therefore they'd want different things. An older family would want something very different to a young group of friends wanting to experience the destinations they're going, how they travel, what they do. And so with that in mind, we were able to capitalize on a market segment that a lot of the legacy businesses hadn't had access to. So our clients are very heavily into crypto. So a lot of our marketplace is made up of that, the new tech entrepreneurs. So those younger people, so you wouldn't have seen people in their 20s and early 30s buying their own super yachts in the past. And now with their access to that younger wealth, their ability to do that, but they don't know that it's their first yachts they're buying. They're asking questions. They don't understand. So we're here to educate people. And when we've got people buying $100 million yachts as their first boat, it's really a wild journey we're taking these people on, and they're experiencing some of these things for the first time. So I love educating these people and explaining to them, and have the time and to do that, because a lot of billionaires turn around and be like, Johnny, I want your life. Where do we go? What do we do? How does it work? So it's about trying to educate people and support them. And we found that niche in the marketplace. And that was really a wonderful platform, which helped us grow exponentially over the recent years.
You mentioned about crypto. How did crypto and yachts get into the marketplace? How did that happen?
I think that we found that sector because a lot of people who've recently come into money were like, how do I now use what I've made? And people want to go and live their life and experience some of the greatest things. So the ability to be able to buy, first of all, you buy your Lambo, you get the crypto, and then it's all the way up to buying your own jet and your own yacht. So it was just the relationships we had. And for me, I've built a relationship with some of the really early founders in crypto. So this was less the consumer buyers. It was more the people who started their own blockchains or their own exchanges, and building the relationships with those guys and becoming trusted by them. And that ability to then grow and support them. And so we've been on some of the greatest trips and adventures with them. And I think it's just a wonderful journey for those customers, for sure.
This is an interesting part, because most crypto people, they think more about the cars than the yachts. I never, like in my mind, I never thought of a yacht before. But until then, when I visited F1 and in Abu Dhabi, there's this guy, a crypto guy, that had three yachts. That's the thing there. Three yachts, not even one, three. He was just like there, and it was just enjoying his time, life of his time.
One of our number one clients.
Yeah.
He's a very good friend.
Yeah.
Very, very inspirational guy you speak about. So, yeah.
Very interesting.
But yeah, look, but they can live differently. They change the mindset, and nothing's impossible. And,
sure.
Particularly with that guy, the reason he bought three boats was because I told him he couldn't. So we were looking for the vessel. There was only three of them in the world. And I said, they're not for sale. And he said, but I want them. I was like, none of
it was a challenge.
So he's like, right, I want all three. And 3 years later, we bought all three.
Oh, wow. Wow. And I always wondered, like, is it the crypto people coming to you? Or how does this business actually form where you're selling them yachts? Is it you reaching out to them, or are they coming to you?
They're coming to us. It's about that. What I said about those relationships.
And it's more from word of mouth.
Yes, very much so. So
pearls.
I built that relationship. I'm at those events. I have those relationships with those people because of what we've been working with. So the reality is if you're trusted by one, you're trusted by the entire industry. So it's not just about the ability for us to purchase the yachts in crypto. That's a sideline. It's about understanding them, understanding their needs, what they want, and being able to talk on their level.
I'm in the real estate industry more, because I know more about the Dubai properties a lot. But let's say the average person, he has a value, but he doesn't have the right clients to come. How does he go about finding the clients to support and adding value to their lives? That's the thing.
I think it's choosing a very clear vertical of relationship. So it's about going, right, I'm going to look after people, whether it be from this region or from this demographic or from these types of industries. So trying to specialize. So your ability, and then build the relationships in that sector. So if you can do that, specialize and build the relationships, then you can start connecting people and for me, often we'll talk about other business opportunities that can support them before we even talk about ours. So if I can connect someone else in crypto with someone else, then that's a relationship to support them first. So I think reaching out, adding value, like we said before, to those people. So start to build the relationships with people who you might know will be your customers, connect them, support them first, and they're then going to come to you. It's a slow burn, but
it takes time to build your client base. And through building your client base, you can build that word of mouth You're the guy with the reputation that can truly get the things that they need.
Exactly that.
For sure. What about in terms of like going into Dubai, where is the best place for people to connect with high net worth individuals or to really just be in their social environment from your experience being here?
From my, we've been, I mean, it seems a crazy place where someone in another country would have a birthday party and it would be in a nice restaurant somewhere. Here, it's on a super yacht. You know, like it's everything becomes on a different level here. Again, joining all the members clubs here and...
Can you name any of those members clubs?
I mean, for me, I'm a member at Arts Club, of course.
That was one known here?
Yeah. And I think that's probably... one of the most prestigious here in terms of the network and relationships. So spending time there has been certainly a value. But you can connect across anything, sports and all the new venues here that people want to spend time at. And J1 now is so interesting with they're bringing all those brands from Saint-Tropez. And so you've got those ultra high net worths that have that relationship with those venues now coming here. It's so interesting to see that the world of all of these experiences that you see around the world coming to Dubai. So for me, I connect when I'm out, I host people and spend as much time building those relationships as I can.
You're a very extrovert person, I would say so. Yeah. Were you always like that case for you?
I probably wasn't, no. I think not at a young age. But I think I grew in confidence as I knew I could share value and connect with people and people were interested in what I had to say. So knowing that you've got your core skill set and something you can be significantly confident about is what created that. And now I'm just passionate about connecting people. So we're building communities with our businesses. We have a nonprofit, the Global Committee, which brings together a lot of our philanthropists and high net worths to connect them. And so I'm so excited to host those events, connect people with no look at what that might return to me, but the value of connecting those people, I'm just so passionate about because I love learning from those people and being inspired by them. So our ability with our other businesses is to connect these people through events and form bonds and relationships that will last forever. And that's such a privilege that I'm able to do that.
There's something special you just said. That the act of adding value doesn't necessarily you have to look for something in return. Sometimes you do it as an act of good, something that can benefit another person, but maybe in a few years' time, that person will come to become your potential client for the act of good that you've just done.
Yeah, very much. Look, I think that's an essential key step in it. And that's why sometimes you might need to start these businesses as a sideline and kind of have your other thing going at the same time, but you build those relationships along the way. And that's why I think it was important for us to launch our nonprofit and do things to support others, because ultimately once you get to that level of wealth, your only next value and need, an essential need in life, is to give back. And I think that once you can help people do that and share and connect in that way, it's really important.
I think there's something called Maslow's hierarchy, if you heard about it. First, you need water, food, shelter, and then you start needing something in terms of your career development. Then you go further, maybe needing family, love, and then you go into how you can impact the people around you. And the very last is more about just trying to support as much people to be as successful as you are. Yeah. It's like contribution, giving to other people who need that help.
Yes. Yeah, very much. I think that's fundamental.
So you say you reach the highest level right now at this age?
I think that's always the goal. I think there's always, I study so much about happiness and I'm very passionate about the subject and learning what makes people happy. What inspires people? I've been to Bhutan in the Himalayas, the happiest place on earth, met the king there, spoke at the National Happiness Conference.
Oh, wow.
And it's so interesting to learn about, yeah, the relevance of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And at the bottom of that chain, you have the key things you need to survive: your food, water, shelter. Once you have that, even in a modern society, which is kind of your basic salary, then your happiness then doesn't have a relevance against your wealth. It really then comes down to your ability to be happy with your own environment. And so you have such a choice about whether you're happy. But of course, building those friends and relationships is such a key part of that.
Now, going back on the topic of Formula One and yachting, what makes Monaco and Abu Dhabi like one of the ultimate F1 yacht experiences? I've never been to Monaco yet, so I'm not sure how it feels to be there, but what made it like one of the super place to be for F1 and for yachts?
Monaco is iconic. It's the jewel in the crown of Formula One. And to host a street race, like most circuits are like a track that you can't really get close and touch. And with places like Singapore, Monaco, and Abu Dhabi now, these places really get you up closer, and you're seeing cars race underneath the hotels. You're seeing them through tunnels, like with super yachts in the background. The glamour of that experience, it really, and I think that Monaco and Abu Dhabi are relatively on par with these two things. But bringing in celebrities, the entertainment, the wow factor of that experience to that juxtaposition of a super yacht next to a Formula One car, and is just so iconic. So I think that it should be on everyone's bucket list for those two races, for sure.
For Formula One, it was my first time experience last year at the end of the year, December, where I've seen in Abu Dhabi the Formula One race. But what I noticed is most people go there not typically for the race, but more for the socializing aspect of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Look, ultimately, I've been in 15 years in Formula One, and I started there by doing my first deal with Bernie Eccleston, who founded it, who was owning it at the time. And he really founded the concept of what Formula One then became. And since then, Liberty Media have then taken that on and grown that significantly. But it's not sports, it's entertainment. It's reminding people of that factor. And what's so exciting in the business that I'm in around Formula One with our GPMR events business is the ability to use it as a platform to do exciting things. And people tell me, oh, I don't like motorsports, don't like cars. But do you like super yachts and celebrities and entertainment? So of course, yeah. So that ability to bring all of that together on one race weekend and bring some of the most connected and interesting people on the planet to that hook for them to come is where the value lies. So that's so exciting, those weekends, the people that are in town and the network. And of course, the backdrop is the Formula One and the energy and adrenaline of watching it go down to the wire at the last race of the season adds to that entertainment. But it's not the whole, it's part of that.
What made, though, the Formula One and super yachts go together? That's the thing. Like, I see the super yachts right in the middle of the race court, and it's just right there in the middle.
Yeah. I think Formula One is the pinnacle of luxury sport. It's the most high-end sport there is. And there's what we see now in the sporting sector is, I think the growth in revenue in the sporting sector is so key now with the development of AI, people having more spare time. And so I think that a lot of people are investing into that industry sector. A lot of billionaires are going in to the sector in sports. And it's that one last opportunity to invest in something outside of the day-to-day businesses. So you see a huge, it's about that network again. All of these ultra high net worth want to connect. It's the greatest sport on earth to connect and build relationships on. So if they can bring their yachts and showcase what they're doing, it's such an incredible platform to bring them there right next to each other. So, I mean, yeah, maybe we can back up some super yachts to a tennis court as well and do it. I think they have done that in Dubai, in fact. So it's and as I was posting last week on Instagram, people playing pickleball on the front of their super yacht on their helipad. So there's still other sports that can introduce the yachting.
That was an amazing video. I'm like watching. I'm still just amazed just looking at it. I'm like, wow, how big is this super yacht?
Yeah,
to carry that.
Yeah, Sophia, I think she's just over 90 meters. And I mean, but yeah, that video.
You chartered this super yacht as well? Or?
One of the many yachts we've chartered as part of our business to our clients. I mean, our largest yacht we've chartered is 136 meters.
Oh, wow.
The biggest super yacht in the world for charter called Flying Fox. So, which is a great trip, I tell you, I was on it as well. I think that this platform, and it's so interesting to see people be passionate, and the fact I can showcase that industry. We've reached nearly 100 million views just on that one video alone of the people playing pickleball on the front of the
You should do more of that.
No, I will. That
will make your business fly, especially if you involve yourself in those videos.
Of course. And you know, we were playing golf off of our yacht in Abu Dhabi during the Formula One. We set the tee up. In Monaco, I got a basketball court on the front of it. So sports and super yachts, maybe that's the future business that I'm going to look at.
For sure. Do you think a lot of your clients as well come through the social media aspect? Do you think social media plays a huge role on building your business?
What billionaires don't tell you is they have Instagram. So it's a great way to connect with them, whether it be them, whether it be their people in their family offices, their connected, their team around it. So the platform to showcase what we do is so fundamental. I think it's also about being genuine, the drive and demand for people to understand, they want to follow businesses that they relate to. People aren't interested in the brands anymore. There's been a huge growth that we've seen in large businesses of the CEOs now starting their own Instagrams and TikToks, although that's an awkward word today because most of them have lost it in the US. But the reality is that ability to see the genuine team behind what's doing something and connect. So social media for me is such a key platform to do that on. And my ability to be able to showcase to hundreds of millions of people what we do and give them insights into that industry, whether it's an aspirational insight or whether that's to a direct customer that wants to get a stronger understanding of who we are as a business, the platform is fundamental to what we do.
So for those listening, you can still find high net worth individuals as clients in social media.
100%. That's absolutely the way to go.
Wonderful. Now, if someone wants to watch an F1 race from a yacht, how do they even start doing that?
Well, I think, again, this is this great way of building community and network is like the costs involved and the complications around trying to charter your own yacht for an F1 race and your way of being able to do all that is so expensive. So what we've done is we've gone and broken it down and gone, you can purchase an individual ticket. Mm. So at GP Management, we put together these products where people can buy an individual ticket to come to Monaco Formula One, sit on board a super yacht, meet really interesting people. And that's an amazing experience we've managed to put together for people. So just
can you compare the price? Like, let's say for a ticket, this is the cost of the price averages and how much it would cost to rent a yacht compared to the.
I mean, Monaco, I mean, I think our products start from $600-$700 for maybe a Friday to come on board through to a whole weekend package.
Okay.
Maybe $5,000-$6,000 and upwards to 30 or 40.
That's as a ticket.
As a ticket.
But let's say if you're a person who wants to rent a super yacht and you want to be, or just rent a yacht and be there on the race.
So once you've chartered the yacht, covered your expenses, got your berth, got all your applications in and done all the work around it, you're $700,000-$800,000.
$700,000-$800,000.
Yeah.
Just talks about how the different gap level, right?
But that's the great way of created these social platforms around these unique experiences. We do the same with super yachts. We have a trip going in Croatia later this year where you might not be able to rent your own super yacht for the week, but we then have given access to our community to break that down so people can then come and take an individual cabin on board the yacht. Same with when you're flying on a jet. Nowadays, we see a lot of people doing it themselves with their groups of friends. Traditionally, it might be one family, an older family doing it. Now, younger groups of friends want to club together. If you're chartering $60,000 to fly to Europe on a big aircraft, if there's 10 of you, breaking that down to $6,000, it'd be the same as buying first class on Emirates. So people are like having access to that nowadays is exciting.
Now, what's the best lesson you learned from the ultra wealthy people, the people that you socialized with?
For me, it's been very much about their vision, how big their vision is. I always say when my team are thinking big and I'm like, unless you're planning to send 100 rockets a day to Mars, which is Elon Musk's vision, you're not thinking big enough. And so their ability to think, how am I affecting over a billion people's lives? What am I doing? Like, what is my product or service that is going to affect the planet? And so I've always just to try to scale that vision up 10x bigger. So again, it's my cheat code. It's going, right, if this project had to make, currently makes $1 million, I go to my team and go, how would it make $10 million? And they're like, 10? Like, well, I'd have to change everything. I'd have to completely get a new team in. We'd have to change our marketing plans, the venues, the space. I'd be like, cool, go do that and then come back to me. And at that point, you then go, well, if you made it $2 million, you've aimed for the stars and you've hit the moon. And I think that when you sit with entrepreneurs, they just have no scale. Their scale is so far beyond what you're envisaging. So for me, it's about dreaming on a bigger scale is fundamental.
You mentioned something important about team, because even if you want to build something so big, you need to have a team, the right team, and the people who are maybe not as maybe in a visionary as you are. You might have handled the vision part, but they're smarter than you in some cases. 100%. How do you find those people? That's the thing.
Of course, it's a challenge, and I want people to be smarter around me, and that shouldn't be something that people should be fearful of. Like, I know where my flaws are, so I think that's a key thing is understanding where your gaps are. I know that I can cast that vision, but am I good at structuring and operating it? No, I probably need some other people around me that are very good operators, process driven, to put those things in place. So again, another learning from those billionaires and entrepreneurs is leadership. And it's something I'm learning every day. I admit to be great at, and it's certainly a challenge for a lot of people.
How many people are you handling so far?
So across our companies here, we have about 20 staff. So it's only small teams of our core team, but when we're running events, you've got hundreds of staff around.
Yeah, and part-time.
So it's managing those and it's the relationships with them. So for me, I want to connect with my team, but it's too big now for me to speak to everyone on a daily basis. And so making sure that everyone is learning about why we're doing things. And I think that's a key value is educating the team is not what we do, but why we do it. And people buying into our why. And that, for me, is what inspires the team. So educating them and getting them to buy into the vision. So if you can cast a good vision, that's the key first step in what you can achieve.
I'm sure you love your team. How did you find them? That's the question right here. How did you go about, like, if someone is going to build their team in their own industry, how do they go about finding the right people? Because you can find a lot of applicants. And out of the 300, maybe only one or even none can be potentially good for your own team.
I've gone and found people who started with us as interns and 10 years later, they're still with us. So it's finding the people that, first of all, if you're starting a small organization, it's about finding the people that do something that you can't. So that's that key first step is going, where's the bits you're missing?
So where do you go? Do you go on LinkedIn? Do you go into, where do you find those people?
Exactly? I mean, this has been in every platform you can imagine. Of course, you have like people applying to us through online, but it's equally they've got to have some of those relationships in the sector. So it's been through recommendations many times. Because if you're starting, like I said, for me, my core value was about relationship first. You can teach a lot of the other things, and not all the areas of the business. I don't need, like, my operations director or my COO not necessarily needs those things as more fundamentally than their other skills, but it was very much relationship first. So if I'm connected and they're come through recommended sources, so I've gone out and asked my friends, who do you recommend? Like, I think it's a different approach for sure.
It's a very similar approach that I do as well.
I think it's
so when I have my own video editors, I'm like, I ask my video editors, like, who do you have that is a similar skill as you are and that we could potentially train if we need to? That's a very interesting thing. Now, what's next for you? More yachts, F1 experiences, or something even crazier?
I think that we've seen a huge trend in the way people are living in the future. And I think everything's about to change. I think that people aren't going to live somewhere full-time now. Things have evolved. We don't need to be in one fixed place. We see nomadic living as the future. And so our core value in our business is building community. So we've decided to create nomadic living around the world, which is our next project. So we're now building residences around the world. Our first project's just about to launch in Bali called Global Base. Global Base is about creating those bases for people around the world to live with like-minded people for periods of time. We see the trend going for people traveling with larger groups, traveling with their employees and families. And with that trend, it's so interesting that people can now, they're not going on holidays, they're living and working as they travel. So our lives are about to change and evolve so much where people have that so much freedom. So I'm very excited for that project. I think my first step into real estate, and I think that that's really going to grow our community so much more. So I'll be focusing on community as definitely what we see as one of the key future trends in this sector.
Very nice. What about in terms of your legacy? What do you want to leave in the luxury world?
Legacy. Legacy is, it's about breaking boundaries and making those next steps. So if we were able to make these experiences more accessible to everyone and casting a vision that everyone needs to take on a new experience, driving people to go and do these things. So if I can inspire others to go and take on new challenges and push the boundaries, I think that would be the most valuable thing I can do.
What about in terms of now, if I'm a person, I want to enjoy the things that you have enjoyed throughout your life. How can I connect with you and how can I enjoy those luxury experiences?
Go and find Johnny Dodge on Instagram and you can see our world of experiences, what we get up to on a daily basis and all the exciting stuff behind the scenes.
Do they just DM you and they want to say, like, if I want to book this experience right now, how do they go about it?
Sure, DM us and we'll drop you a message with all the fun stuff. So get connected.
So there they have it. And if you need that experience, whether going to Amazon or going to Antarctica or even defying gravity in the space training, I'm sure you can connect with Johnny Dodge.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Thank you.